sound man here. Same job.
Yeah. Carry with us memories going back many years, 1970s, when we used to come to England and Bury Place. We used to go to Bury Place when Prabhupada was there, and Soho Street, and then in the early years, the manor. So, of course, this property is very dear to all of us. This evening I was asked to give class, and they said just speak on anything. So the philosophy is unlimited. It's kind of hard to know where to begin. So I just opened up Bhagavad Gita as it is and came across a second chapter. The contents of the Gita summarized. I think we can do text 51. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Karma.
Jam
Buddhi
Yuktahi
Phalam
Chaktva
Manishana
Janma
Bhanda
Virmukta
Padam
Gachanti
Anamayam.
So we don't have a board, so I'll chant myself.
Karma jambudi yuktahi phalam chakva manishana janma bandhava nirmukta param gachantya manayam.
Karma jam,
due to fruitive activities.
Buddhi yukta,
being engaged in devotional service.
He
certainly.
Phalam,
results.
Trakva,
giving up.
Manishana,
great sages or devotees.
Janma
bandha,
from the bondage of birth and death.
Vinirmukta,
liberated.
Padam,
position.
Gachanti,
they reach.
Anamayam,
without misery.
Translation.
By thus engaging in devotional service to the Lord, great sages or devotees free themselves from the results of work in the material world. In this way, they become free from the cycle of birth and death and attain a state beyond all miseries by going back home, back to Godhead. Purport. The liberated living entities belong to that place where there are no material miseries. The Bhagavatam says, Samshita ye pada palava plavam mahatpadam punya yaso morare bhavam buddhirvatsa padam param padam padam yadvi padam natesham. For one who has accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation and is famous as Mukunda, or the giver of mukti, the ocean of the material world is like the water contained in a calf's footprint. Param padam, or that place where there are no material miseries, or Vaikuntha, is his goal, not the place where there is danger in every step of life. Owing to ignorance, one does not know that this material world is a miserable place where there are dangers at every step. Out of ignorance only, less intelligent persons try to adjust the situation by fruitive activity, thinking that the resultant actions will make them happy. They do not know that no kind of material body anywhere within the universe can give life without miseries. The miseries of life, namely birth, death, old age, and disease, are present everywhere within the material world. But one who understands his real constitutional position as the eternal servant of the Lord, and thus knows the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, engages himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Consequently, he becomes qualified to enter into the Vaikuntha planets, where there is neither material, miserable life, nor the influence of time and death. To know one's constitutional position means to know also the supreme position of the Lord. One who wrongly thinks that the living entity's position and the Lord's position are on the same level is to be understood to be in darkness, and therefore unable to engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord. He becomes a Lord himself, and thus paves the way for the repetition of birth and death. But one who, understanding that his position is to serve, transfers himself to the service of the Lord, at once becomes eligible for Vaikuntha Loka. Service for the cause of the Lord is called Karma Yoga or Buddhi Yoga, or in plain words, devotional service to the Lord. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. A translation again. By thus engaging in devotional service to the Lord, great sages or devotees free themselves from the results of work in the material world. In this way, they become free from the cycle of birth and death and attain a state beyond all miseries by going back home, back to Godhead. Have a little water. Oma Gyanti Madandasya Ginangira Shalakaya Chakshu Unminitam Jainatasmaya Sigurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jainaputale Swayam Rupadamayam Dadanti Svapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Omam him shromo varum tataka hataka kesha gudala parikalochana padvaraka naka sparsa diva singha namostate ukram vira mahavishnum dvalantam sharvato mukham ashringam vishnam padram mitkul mitzvam namam yaham. So once again, in this verse of Bhagavad Gita, we hear of some of the dangers of material life, of material existence. Srila Prabhupada adds to that understanding by quoting a very famous verse from the, I believe it's 10th canto, 14th chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, famous verse ending with the well-known quote, padam padam yad vipadam natesham. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. That within this material world, there is danger at every step. And actually we have practical experience of this. Aside from the perfect knowledge of the Shastra, there's our practical experience in this material world. If you could add up all the dangerous situations you've been in, some of them life-threatening, it would be very amazing, actually. We could wake up to the reality. Therefore, always being in a very dangerous situation, we find that the living entities are always in anxiety. I was just, we were driving out of, well, from Heathrow to the house that we're staying in, and now spring has sprung in London, in England, and there's lots of flowers coming out, and the birds are happy, spring is here, and I was watching the birds fly, free as a bird, but then I watched some little birdies, they landed on the grass, and there was a meal there, I guess because of the wet weather there was some worms or something, so little birds, they landed on the grass, and as soon as they landed, they started looking around for the cat, or some animal like that. There was no relief. No moment where one is not in anxiety because of the dangers of material existence. You see the birds. They're landing, and every moment they're looking like this around. They can't even enjoy their meal. They get the worm, but they're constantly looking, some predator is going to come in. So actually this is the situation with every living entity. Not because of our advanced science and technology that we're in a safer position. Srila Prabhupada has many times pointed out in his books that out of the four main propensities, sometimes he says propensity, or the four main activities of the living entity, which are eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Prabhupada would sometimes translate defending as fearing. Eating, sleeping, mating, and fearing. Prabhupada says in one purport that of the four, the fearing propensity is the most prominent. Anxiety. That is what this world is called. Kunta. The spiritual world is Vaikuntha, a place where there's no anxiety. But this material world is constantly Kunta. It's full of anxiety because of its temporary and miserable nature. So people are always in a fearful condition. Nowadays, many governments, they spend well over 50% of the gross national income on defense. A couple of years ago, Russia spent 76% of its gross national income, whatever that was, on defense measures, on defense. So why? Because in the material world, padam padam yad vipadam nitesham, the facts speak for themselves. Everyone is looking for shelter. And that includes us as well, as devotees. Like it or not, we're in this material world, at least for a little while longer, so we're also looking for shelter. Fortunately, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have found the supreme shelter, Krishna. Chetasa sarvakamani mai sanyasimat para buddhiyogam apashritam machita satatam bhavam. Krishna says, he encourages his devotees in this world of birth and death, in all activities and for the results, simply depend upon me. Work always under my protection in such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. The devotees are protected because they know the art of taking shelter of Krishna. There's many arts in this world that you can cultivate. The art of taking shelter of Krishna. One time Srila Prabhupada was walking on the beach, Juhu Beach, one of his favorite walks, as we learn from His Holiness Giriyar Swami's new book called Watering the Seed. Satsarup Goswami, he produced Planting the Seed, and now Srila Giriyar Swami has given us Watering the Seed, an in-depth view of his very wonderful association with Srila Prabhupada. Many nice glimpses into the divine personality of Srila Prabhupada and how he dealt so personally, especially with his disciples in those days. So one time, Prabhupada was walking on the beach with his disciples at Juhu, and they were walking and walking and walking, and then they came across some crabs, what we call them sand crabs. And the sand crabs, all of a sudden, they all scurried right into the ocean. You know, they go, they can just go left or right or backwards or forwards. It's the unique gift of Mother Nature, Father Krishna. They just went, they made a beeline, boop, right into the water. And Prabhupada turned to his disciples, many of them were scientist disciples, and he asked the question, why did the crabs go into the water? So the scientist devotees, they thought, well, we'd better give a scientific explanation because it must be something very profound. Although Prabhupada has said that eloquence is truth spoken concisely. And in a minute I will give you his very eloquent, or his eloquent reply to his own question, which was very, very simple, but wonderfully amazing. So the disciples, I am told, a few of the disciples, they tried to explain this very scientifically. I'm not very scientific, so I may not quote them properly, but the vibration on the ground triggered off some sea fibers in the in molecules, in the DNA and RNA. Well, that sounds pretty stupid to do it in karma rule, but anyway, there was some scientific equation there given by one of Prabhupada's disciples. Prabhupada said, no. He said, the reason that the crabs have gone into the water is because they know they can take shelter there. We are walking down the beach, and we are, with our feet we will trample them, so they know where to take shelter. It's a very large body of ocean. The ocean's very large, and they're very tiny. So they know that because they're very tiny, they can take shelter in a large ocean. So Baba said, in the same way, we should know that although we are very tiny, jivesu poya krishnera nityadas, we're the tiny infinitesimal spirit souls, part and parcels of Krishna. We know that although we're very tiny and susceptible to the dangerous nature of this material world, we can very easily take shelter in the great ocean of Krishna and Krishna consciousness. And what is our shelter? This doesn't mean that we all run to the ocean, down to the ocean some distance from London when there's some danger. But what is the great ocean of shelter that Lord Krishna has given us, particularly in this age of Kali? Apanasham shitam goram yannama vishvasho guryam tathasadyo vibhucheta yadibheti svayambhaya. Very famous verse from the Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam, that living entities who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately, even by unconscious chanting of the holy names of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For a devotee whose tongue is always decorated by the holy name. There is no situation to fear in this world. When Srila Prabhupada was here in the United Kingdom, in Great Britain, he was, well, in the early years, he once stayed out at John Lennon's estate. And when he first walked into that estate, Prabhupada could, well, what he did is he started tapping his cane on the walls. He went to the whole building, and devotees are wondering, what is Srila Prabhupada doing? He's tapping all the walls with his cane, and Prabhupada was chanting softly, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Prabhupada, what are you doing? He said, oh, now all the ghosts are gone. So any dangerous situation can immediately be averted. But even unconscious chant, imagine if you chant conscientiously, some danger is approaching. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Of course, modern man is thinking that because of our material progress, life is much safer now. It's not so much, it's not so dangerous as this. This Bhagavatam was written 5,000 years ago. This Gita was spoken 5,000 years ago. It's not so, I mean, things are much safer now. We have better police forces. We have improved medicines, all their side effects. And we have safer roads, although they're completely crowded, overcrowded, and more dangerous. Anyway, it may appear that life is safer, but there's a saying in ancient Europe that accidents happen even on the royal road. Isn't it? Accidents happen even on the royal road. In France, there the Louis the 15th, Louis the 15th, I don't remember which Louis it was, the Sun King. He built a beautiful palace. He was living in the Louvre. The Louvre now is a museum, but originally it was the palace of the king. But he wanted something even bigger and more opulent. So he built a beautiful palace. You can go in today and even see. Very beautiful palace, the Palais de Versailles. And the road was called the Route, la Rue de Versailles. And it's a very beautiful road, but in those days it was only for the king, the queen, and their family members. The common man, you and me, we couldn't go on that road. It was for the king and the queen, and it was very nicely paved, and everything was very paka, and there were soldiers guarding the whole way, the whole place. And one couldn't even imagine if any danger would befall. But history has noted that on a number of occasions, the wheel broke down, and the palanquin fell over, and the king bumped his head, or whatever. And a couple of times they were attacked by dacoits, and the soldiers had to fight. So therefore the saying is that accidents happen even on the royal road. The other day a couple of weeks ago we were in India, and my god sister Daiti Shakti, she invited me. I was planning to take Govardhan Parikrama, but she invited me for a preaching program in Delhi. So I'd been in India for many months, and I'd gone around Govardhan Hill a number of times, so I thought, well, I want to go around Govardhan Hill one more time, but maybe just to get kind of back in the spirit of, in the preaching spirit, because I've been in India so many months, and pretty soon I'm going to have to go back to the West and speak, so maybe I should go to the prison, or whatever it was, just go in there and get warmed up with the preaching program. So I agreed. And on the way in, I said, what kind of preaching program are we going to? She said, we're going to preach in Tihar Prison. Now, some of you who are of Indian origin, you will know what is the Tihar. You see, his hairs are standing on end. Sika is standing on end. Tihar Prison. That's where they put the most vicious criminals. The murderers, the rapists, the drug lords, the spies. You name it, that's Tihar Prison. You can't get in there unless you've done the most worst crime. So Daiti Shakti said, we're going to go preach in Tihar Prison. I said, great, from Govardhan Hill to Tihar Prison, wow. So we did a program in the worst part of Tihar Prison. Cell Block 3. Anyway. that may not make your hair stand on end. We were walking in, we had to go through five different massive gates to get into TR prison. And Dauji Krishna, Devi Shakti's daughter, she said, "Guru Maharaj, don't forget the stamp, because if you don't have the stamp, they won't let you out." And I looked, I forgot to get the stamp. I had to run back, get the stamp. One time she was there and she forgot the stamp. They kept her in there for about 18 hours. They wouldn't believe she was a Hare Krishna devotee, just came for a visit. Anyway, we got to cell block 3, and there, above the gate, some prisoner had written, "Better dead than alive." So anyway, we went in there. There was a mixed crowd. There were also lady prisoners, lady spies, lady murderers, you know, anyway, the whole thing. Went in there, and, you know, I was giving a lecture about, you know, material life and how bad it is, you know, I said, you know, but actually the whole material world is a prison house, you know, there's four walls, birth, death, relations. So really there's no difference between here and outside the prison. These guys, we probably had a riot on our hands, you know. What do you mean there's no difference? Of course it's better out there. Ah! I said, no way, according to Gita, Krishna, Krishna's the authority, right? You're all Vedic background, right? Aryans, right? Ah! Anyway, calmly calmed down a bit. But we spoke, and, you know, that's India, right? In the end, they all chanted Hare Krishna. They all chanted. Prabhupada said that. It's very fortunate to take birth in Bharatvarsha. It means to just under the skin, there's KC. That means Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, you just scratch the skin of one of Indian origin, and you get that Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. So and all these vicious rapists and murderers and extortionists and spies are all Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We had a wild kirtan for about 2 hours. It was really ecstatic. Actually, one of the best kirtans I ever had, because they were really, really into the holy name. It reminded me of when Haridas Thakur was thrown into prison for his great crime of spreading the chanting of Hare Krishna. Then the prisoners who'd been in there a long time, they approached him. "Oh, sadhu, 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 please give us one benediction, please one benediction." So Haridas Thakur said, "Yes, I give you the benediction that you will stay here forever." "Wow, sadhu, what kind of benediction is this? We'll stay here forever." He said, "Yes, I am giving you this benediction because outside none of you would listen to me. But here in the prison, you are Pariprashana Sevaya. You are coming forward with submissive inquiries into the nature of spiritual life. So I hear you're submissive and humble, so may you stay here forever." So here we saw these criminals, you know, the worst people in India, but they were forced to sit down and hear the philosophy, and the holy name took over. We even distributed prasadam. It was a very, very extended program. But getting to my point, I met one girl from England. There were some foreigners there. I noted in the crowd there was some pale skin, very pale skin. And one girl came up to me and she said, "You know, can I speak to you for a minute?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Gosh, what?" You know, she's young. She's like 24, 23 or 24 years old. I said, "You know, what is a nice girl like you doing in a place like this?" She said, "Well, actually," she said, I said, "First of all," I said, "how long have you been here?" She said, "I've been here for 4 years." She was 19 when she was thrown in the prison. She said, "The problem is my case hasn't come to court yet." So I said, "What did you do? I mean, did you kill somebody? Or did you, you know, try to, you know, export gold? Or what did you know?" She said, I was in Heathrow Airport, and me and my friend were comparing our passports. You know, she was going off to South Africa, and I was going to India, so we were just kind of looking at each other's passports, and then I had to run off to catch my flight, and I didn't realize that when I got to Delhi, I had her passport, and she must have had my passport. It was just an innocent mistake, simple mistake. So I just thought, you know, we look kind of a lot alike, you know, we look a little bit alike, you know. I thought, well, what the heck, you know, try to go through, you know. She went through immigration, and they figured out it wasn't her passport, and they arrested her. And they threw her in Tihar prison. She's been there 4 years. Because, you know, the court system there is so corrupt and so, you know, like, it takes such a long time. She hasn't got out. And even, you know, the English government can't get out. So the reason I'm telling this story is not to scare you next time you go to India. Just to show you, padam padam yad vipadam natesham. We may take all precautions, but miseries may come. But you may take all precautions and still something may happen to you. I often tell the story of my friend Gopaswami Das. He's a doctor in Bordeaux, France. And so many, he worked in his initial training period in the emergency room. And he said, you know, Maharaj, he said, everyone says the same thing when they come in here. I said, you know, well, how's that possible? They all say the same thing. You know, they're coming to stretcher and almost like a mantra. I said, what is it? Tell me what it is. He said, they all say, I never thought this would happen to me. Right? And there's even saying that most accidents, they don't happen, you know, when you're in Africa or you're in Bihar or you're in Bosnia or whatever. Most accidents happen within 2 kilometers of the home. Ahanyahani bhutani yajkantila yamalayam. Maharaj Yudhishthir said to Yamaraj, every day hundreds and millions of living entities are going to the kingdom of death, but I am thinking this will never happen to me. Napoleon, he's famous for his statement. He tried to conquer, he conquered a lot of Europe, and he wanted to conquer Russia. He wanted to conquer Russia. So his troops, he invaded Russia, but he invaded at the wrong time. He went in late autumn, and it was very difficult. The snows came early, and he didn't make it to Moscow, and he was fighting with the Cossacks, and they were doing guerrilla warfare. And you know, Napoleon had a certain way of fighting, this kind of a European strategy of fighting. They weren't used to this, like, guerrilla warfare, where a few soldiers pick off a few more and run away and come back. They weren't used to that, as the Cossacks were doing. So practically, Napoleon was defeated. So much so that he had to run for his life. And he got on a dog sled with one driver, and that the dogs took him all the way back to Paris. So before that, he was like very famous and very rich and a powerful soldier, but within a moment's time, everything changed. So he said, from the sublime to the ridiculous in a moment's time. I think we've all experienced that, right? From the sublime to the ridiculous in a moment's time. So that is the nature of this material world. One moment he was conquering Russia, and the next he was returning alone on a dog sled to France. He got back to France, and there was the big palace. You know, I don't remember which big palace, and you know, he was the emperor, actually. They crowned him emperor. He was knocking on the door, and the guard looked through the thing, and because Napoleon, it was dark, and he had a beard and everything, he didn't really say, go away, old man, get away from here. And they locked. It wasn't until the morning he get into his own palace. So this is the nature of the material world. Bhagavatam is not exaggerating. We may think, oh, padam, padam, yad, vipadam. Every step? I mean, every step? Yes, but it's not an exaggeration. And how is it possible that people are not, they're not aware of this situation? And they don't take the positive alternative of Krishna consciousness. If it's so obvious, you don't have to read Bhagavatam, read the newspaper, especially here in this country, you have these what do you call them? Magazines? Or these
tabloids,
right? Do you ever read any good news in the tabloids? At least when I was a kid, the home newspaper, they had a little back section, and then one quarter of the page was called the good news. And when I went home about 5 or 6 years ago, I just, out of curiosity, I picked it up, and that section was gone. So you just read the newspaper, or you just look next door, or you just whatever. So how is it that people can be so oblivious? Well, Prabhupada has given the example of the deer. She goes down to the lake to drink some water. She looks into the lake, and what does she see? On a very very still day, no wind, she sees a reflection. Oh, you know how cute the deers are. They have the doe eyes. Sometimes even the gopis are compared to the deer, the young deer. They have the doe-eyed gopis. So the deer is looking and she becomes enchanted. Oh, who is that? Oh, she's so cute. So beautiful. But the same is true in human society. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest in them all? Of course you are! Well, thank you, reflection. But being enchanted with her own reflection in the water, she doesn't hear the tiger slowly coming behind her. The tiger's coming up and she's there. All the other animals have long fled, long gone away. But she's there looking, oh, so nice, such nice eyes, a cute smile, nice nose. And the tiger's coming, the tiger's coming. One moment. So, too late. The tiger pounces on her. So in the same way, we are so enchanted with our own reflection in the mirror, or with our own bodily concept of life, or with our hopes and aspirations in this material world. We are so, our hopes, our plans are so, our strategy is to enjoy, so strong, so captivated we are by this material energy, that we remain oblivious to the dangers of this, to the duality of this material world. This is our problem. But the warning is always there. One of my old friends, he's no longer with us, Bhagaji, Vishwambar Das, he was one of Prabhupada's close associates, close friends. He used to serve Prabhupada. He actually gave the land, or paid for the land for the Gurukul in Vrindavan. He told me that when he first came to Vrindavan in the 1940s, there were still tigers there in Ramanreti. There were still tigers. He said there were sadhus. They were living in their little huts there. And sometimes the tigers would come and just eat the sadhus inside the huts. So what the sadhus used to do, they used to take a bowl of milk. This was the trick. Warm milk, they would put it outside the door. So the tigers would come, and before they came in, they would see the milk. They would eat the milk, drink the milk, and they'd be satisfied and go away. But he said, by nature's way, there was another scenario. And that is that the tiger, nature has made it, that the tiger, there's a little rodent who accompanies the tiger wherever he goes. A little rodent is making a little kind of like chirping noise or a beeping, I don't know what it is, a kind of squeaking noise. So that's, he said squeaking. Squeak, 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 squeak. He's just 2 or 3 meters in front of the tiger. So it's not easy. You think tiger or lion, the king of the jungle, powerful, fast, ferocious, fearful. He can get anything he wants to eat. But not so. Tigers don't eat very often, actually. They have to get a big buffalo or a zebra or whatever and eat because the meals are not coming very regularly. Why? Well, one reason is this little guy is in front of him going, beep, 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 squeak, here comes a tiger, here comes a tiger. So Prabhupada said, Vishwambar Bhagavad Gita was telling me that the sadhus, they would keep an ear open. Huh? Squeak, squeak, hey, let's get out of here. And they make a beeline for a temple or something. A tiger, because they'd hear that beep. They would hear that beep. So, what is the beep? That we have to keep our ears open. The real nature of this world, Shastra, is giving us good warning. Abrahma bhuvana loka punar avito arjuna mamopeti te kantiya punarjanma nivedyate. Squeak, 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 squeak. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. We are forewarned. The knowledge is there in the Shastra. And of course, human society should always be guiding itself by the Shastra. Shastra is given for that very purpose, to enlighten us of two things, the nature of this world and the nature of the spiritual world. So we should hear, we should read regularly, actually. Prabhupada said, my only complaint is my disciples do not study my books. So, I was thinking I will go to Govardhan Hill and I will make some spiritual progress or something. But I think that day I went to Tihar prison. That was a very good lesson for me. That night, when I went to sleep, I dreamt I was in the prison. I didn't have my stamp and they wouldn't let me out. You know those kind of dreams that are real? Like sometimes you have a dream, but sometimes you have a dream that's like so real that you really think it's happening. So it was one of those dreams. I woke up and I went, Hare Krishna. I chanted the best rounds in 10 years. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Like that. We have to be convinced of the temporary and miserable nature of this world to actually fully take shelter of Krishna. Prabhupada said, sense gratification and pure devotional service, they go all together. They don't mix. Renunciation based on knowledge is required in order to sincerely take shelter of devotional service. So we can learn to the Shastra. It is there that first-class person, he learns by hearing. Second-class person, he has to undergo the experience and then become convinced. And the third-class person never learns no matter what. Prabhupada told me, he gave the example of three people, and they were all thieves. So the prison warden was saying, look, don't steal, because if you steal, you're going to get caught and you're going to be punished. Okay? So the first prisoner, he went, okay, sir. Thank you very much. Okay, I'll steal. The second person went, yeah, right, sure, now I'll get caught. So he went out and he started stealing, and sure enough, they caught him, they put him in prison, and then as time was over, he came to the warden. Oh, now I learned my lesson. I had to go myself. And the third person, well, he's still stealing and getting caught and stealing and getting caught and thrown in prison, and he never learns. So we should be convinced, we should have faith that these things, there's no exaggeration in the Shastra. Why would the sages, what business does Srila Vyasadeva have, you know, exaggerating? Sometimes they accuse Srila Vyasadeva, this is mythology. What is a great sober sage who's only here for the purpose of enlightening the fallen conditioned soul? What is he telling stories for? What is he telling mythology for? What is he exaggerating? Everything is perfect truth, no exaggeration. So we should be convinced. If it is really padam padam yabhi padam natesham, then Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Of course, for devotees, the situation is a little bit different. By Krishna's grace. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, in Srimad Bhagavatam, that material dangers are not meant for devotees. Material dangers are not meant for devotees. Well, how is that? Well, danger, which means like injury or untimely death or whatever. What is that? That is simply the reactions to a living entity's past sinful activities, isn't it? When some danger befalls you, when some injury, nothing happens by chance in this world. Good or bad, it happens because of destiny, what you've done in the past. That we know our basic philosophy. So it's due to karma. It's simply due to karma. But pure devotees, they don't have any sinful reactions to suffer. Because such pure devotees have never done anything sinful. Srila Prabhupada himself once said, he never performed even one sinful action in his life. Even the doctor said, the young Abhai, he has typhoid, he has to drink the chicken broth. So his father reluctantly got the chicken broth and brought it to little Abhai, who was burning with a fever. And as soon as they put it to his lips, Prabhupada vomited. That sinful liquid, that broth, never had a chance to even enter his body. So Prabhupada said, never in his life did he ever perform a sinful activity. So we should not see danger befalling a pure devotee of the Lord, because he's never done anything to deserve it. So devotees don't have to suffer dangerous situations. Of course, what about those of us who are not pure devotees, who have a checkered past? Surely we must have to suffer the reactions to our past sinful activities. That can be the explanation when difficult moments come. But no, even we have a clean slate. Even we have a clean slate by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Sarvadharma paricca jam amekam saranam vaja aham tam sarvapapebhyo. This is one concession that Krishna gives to one who's considering the path of devotional service. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Just abandon all varieties of dharma and surrender them to me. And what will I do to entice you to surrender? I will protect you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So by the grace of Krishna and his representative, the spiritual master, our slate is as clean as the pure devotee who comes from the spiritual world. Only by their grace. Because Prabhupada said the obstacles must be removed. So the reactions are there. So as out of mercy, just like we just celebrated Easter. Well, we acknowledge the celebration of Easter. And Lord Jesus Christ, he died on the cross. Why? Out of his compassion for suffering humanity, he was willing to accept their sins. He gave up his life he was willing to accept the sins of the people so they could make progress in their spiritual life. So therefore Krishna is called Arana Pada Pankajam. It means he whose lotus feet protect his devotee from all fearful situations. He's partial to his devotees because they render service to him. Samoham Sarvabhuteshu. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I'm equal to all. But whomever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. Now why is a devotee particularly dear to Krishna and given some special protection? Because he's taken up the mission of the Lord. Devotional service is not something inactive. We get a mantra and we sit down and we meditate, you know, every now and then. This is devotional service. Our path is very active. We're very active. Shravanam, kirtanam, vishnishmaranam, padasevanam, archanam, bandham, dasam, sakyam, agminivedanam. There's 9 processes of devotional service. We're engaged in 1 or 2 or 3 in a combination. Any time of the day you see Srila Prabhupada has created an institution, an organization, we're busy as bees. So much so that by the time nightfall comes, we put our head on the pillows. We're out. The other night there was something happening somewhere, something in the world. I wanted to hear about it. I can't remember what it was. Something that I should have known, but anyway. So I got on my shortwave radio, my BBC, turned to the BBC, and it was the end of the day, and I thought, I have to know about this. Well, what's happening is part of the world. And all I remember is putting the earphones in my head and putting my head on the pillow. It's the last thing I remember. I woke up in the morning, the cords all tangled around my neck. The radio's and I'm sleeping on top of the radio all night. As soon as my head hit the pillow, I was out. So this process is very, very active. So we're always engaged and so we're engaged in what? Practically speaking, we're engaged in the missionary activities. This is a missionary movement. In essence, this is a missionary movement. We're all here by the mercy of the devotees who have that spirit, and we should also have the same spirit to bring others here. The lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and Radha-Gokulananda. It's a missionary movement. And when you engage in this missionary activity, then you get protection, you get mercy from Krishna. Just like if you join a particular company, then you get automatically, generally, you're covered by the company's insurance policy. But if you have your own business, you have to pay your own insurance. So if you join this transcendental company, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, then the protection is there. It's there for all the devotees. Just like Haridas Thakur, he was, again, his crime. Chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Very loudly he was chanting. Maybe that was the problem. If he'd just been by himself at Siddha Bakul, and he was chanting 300,000 names a day, 100,000 he was chanting silently in his mind, his manasa vrata. And then softly he was chanting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. But for the benefit of all living entities, movable and immovable, he was chanting 100,000 names, part of his daily vrata, at the top of his lungs. I won't do it because I'll lose my voice. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Like that. He was chanting very, very loudly. So had he just sat in the siddhabhak role, no problem. Because he had a compassion, like Bhaktivinoda Thakura said, when will I, when with a lowly heart will I go out to preach the divine command, encourage the living entities to chant the holy names of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was going out, Haridas Thakur, he was chanting very loudly, and for that he was arrested and he was whipped in how many marketplaces? 20 some odd marketplaces. Anyway, after 2 you're supposed to die. But he didn't die. And even the guards were saying, you know, if you don't die, the king's going to have our head. So he said, okay, for you guys, I'll die. So he feigned death. He actually went into samadhi. Symptoms are very similar, practically no life symptoms. They threw him in the Ganges and later he came through. 22 marketplaces, whips on his back. But when he went to see Lord Chaitanya, the devotees were amazed. There were no whip marks on his back. Every religion has its miracles which give us faith. And even by Prabhupada's grace, we're also able to see miracles. If we do Sankirtan, we see so many amazing things happen that give us faith. Things that contradict the laws of nature. This person. It's like when I remember when I first, I'd been coming to the temple for some time, but when I finally knocked on the door, the temple president said to join, the president said, we never thought you'd join. So there are many miracles in Krishna consciousness. So this was a miracle that Mahaprabhu, he had the whip marks on his back. So is this not evidence that the Lord gives protection to his devotees? But this protection is not only there for advanced devotees. Anyone who surrenders to Krishna, Krishna considers that soul very dear. That is why we must have the utmost respect for each and every devotee. Each and every devotee is very special. Vanchakalpaturubhyastra kripa sindhube eva cha paditanam pavanevyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Except that one. No. I offer my obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord who are just like desire trees, and that they can fulfill the spiritual desires of everyone and are full of compassion for all the fallen conditioned souls. So Krishna sees like that. So we're Krishna's devotees. We have to see as Krishna sees, or his pure representative sees. So even the youngest devotee is given protection. Where's the Shastric reference for that? A new devotee, brand new devotee, day one, is given protection of the Lord? What's the Shastric reference? Again, Sarvadharam Paricchaja Mamekam Saranam Braja Aham Tam Samapapevyo. Krishna is speaking to Haridas Thakur, or Ramananda Roy. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to the person who's on the threshold of devotion, who's come to the Lord because he's in distress, or because he's curious, or because he's looking for some material situation, or maybe he's looking for knowledge from some sukriti, some pious activity. He finds himself at the threshold. So to make the step out of, you know, material life into Krishna consciousness, I mean, that was a big moment in all of our lives. Sometimes people hesitate, they never make it. So Krishna says to that aspiring devotee, just give up everything and surrender to me, and I will protect you. I will give you protection as my aspiring devotee, speaking to the new bhakti, speaking to the person just on the threshold of bhakti. I will protect you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. You see how merciful Krishna is. We think, oh, we will achieve Krishna's mercy at advanced stage of Krishna consciousness. But actually, we're bathing in mercy right now. We're swimming in the ocean of mercy. The mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But still you can say, oh, mishaps do happen to devotees. But devotees don't see them as karma, they see them as kripa. Kripa, not karma. The words are similar, but they're very just like gold and iron. They're similar in that they're metals, but there's a world of difference. Love and lust are similar, but there's a world of difference. The world, the spiritual world and the material world. So kripa and karma may manifest in similar ways. Things may happen to devotees and we may wonder, how is this happening? Is this karma? It's always Kripa. And the essence of that was spoken, of course, by Kunti Devi. Let these calamities happen again and again, because by experiencing these calamities, we're forced to think of your two beautiful lotus feet, Krishna. And by remembering your lotus feet, what is the result of remembering, placing Krishna's lotus feet within one's mind, or synonymous, the heart, placing Krishna's lotus feet within one's heart, what is the result of placing Krishna's lotus feet within one's heart? Kunti Devi says, we never have to see the repetition of birth and death again. So she says, let them keep coming, these calamities. Come again and again and again. Devotees see them as Krishna. Therefore, we only really ask protection under special circumstances, because we take Krishna's words as absolute truth. Declare it boldly, Arjuna. My devotee will never perish. Yogakshemam baham yaham. For my devotee, I protect what he has, and I provide whatever he requires. So, with some dangers coming, Krishna, remember your promise? Krishna doesn't forget. He's not like you and me. That's the difference. Many, many births, you know, you and I have had, Arjuna. I can remember all of them, but you can remember only this one. The Lord is not subjected to the nature of this material world, with all its imperfection. He doesn't forget. He makes his promise. So we don't generally have... If you read 7th Canto very carefully, you'll never see Prahlad Maharaj asking for protection. What's he doing? He's preaching to his Pita. Pita, you give it up, go to Vrindavan. What are you doing here? Is the Lord in this? Yes, he's everywhere. He's even in the pillar. Pita, I'm going to cut your head off. But Pita, you just try to become a... You don't see the prayers are there. But still, Srila Vishnava Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, concerning the plight of the elephant Gajendra, he says that it may seem that Gajendra, you know the story of Gajendra, he's with this female, he's got a few wives and the little kitties, and they're on the water, and then, you know, Gajendra gets the alligator, bites his leg and doesn't let go, and it's a very dangerous situation. So he starts praying to Lord Narayan to relieve him from this distressful situation. So Vishnu Tathagata Thakur comments in this particular chapter. He says it that Gajendra's prayers for protection may not be seen as pure devotional service. Because really a devotee in a spirit of Shikshastakam prayers, Nandanana Janana Sundarim Kavicham Vajagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Ishwara Bhavatat Bhakti Ahaitikitwe. My Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, neither do I want to enjoy beautiful women, neither do I want name, fame, reputation. What do I want? All I want is that I might be engaged in your devotional service, which means for Krishna's pleasure, birth after birth after birth. This is the spirit of pure devotion. Ahaitakiya patiyata sabai pumsham padad dharmo yato bhaktir doksaji ahaitakiya patiyata yayat maashru prasidati. The supreme occupation for all men is that by which one can attain to the pure, unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to yayatma srupasidasi, to completely satisfy the self. So this service is rendered only for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. So here is Gajendra asking, you know, for deliverance from this situation, this painful situation. Technically it could be classified not... But Vishnu Bhagavati Thakur, he says, under special circumstances, a devotee can ask for protection, especially if he does so that he may go on with his devotional service, in the mood of service for Krishna. Just like Uttara, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin Deva Deva Jagatpate Nanyam Twad Abhayam Pasye Yatta Mrityu Parashparam. Uttara said, O Lord of Lords, Lord of the universe, you are the greatest of all mystics. Please protect me, for there's no one else who can save me from the clutches of death in this world of duality. O my Lord, you are all powerful. A fiery iron arrow is coming towards me fast. My Lord, let it burn me personally, if you so desire. But please, do not let it burn and abort my embryo, please do me this favor, my lord. So she's praying for protection, but for what? For the great Maharaj Pariksit within her womb. So when Prabhupada gave us the Nisringadeva prayers, this was the mood of the Nisringadeva prayers. That morning, someone had thrown a bomb into the temple in Los Angeles and exploded the pujari room, and all the deity's clothes were burned, and the devotee was injured, and Prabhupada heard the explosion upstairs, so he, at class, and when he came down, he didn't give the regular Srimad Bhagavatam, he taught the Nisringadeva prayers. He taught the devotee, Namaste, Namaste, Narasingaya, Narasingaya. He taught the devotees word by word the Nisringadeva prayers for 3 days in a row. He said, these prayers are for what? These are for the protection of ISKCON and the spiritual master. So, but it requires that we can go on with our devotional service, just like Prabhupada on his deathbed. We asked Prabhupada, or the devotees who were there asked Prabhupada, can we say a prayer for your protection? And Prabhupada said, okay, but do it like this. Dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire, please cure Srila Prabhupada. Like this. So this is it may take a while to get to the stage, of course, because you know, this is one symptom of pure devotional service. There's other symptoms of pure devotional service, to be feel completely dependent upon the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God. So it may take us time. Next time danger comes, and maybe we may try to think philosophically, well, you know, if you so desire, would you please stop? We may not have time to think like that, so we'll go, Hare Krishna! But actually, that is our mood as Vaishnavas. We want to remain as long as possible doing service for Guru and Granga for their pleasure. And the Lord will respond to the prayers of his devotees. Vandanam. Just as he responds to Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Apanivedanam. Vandanam or prayer is very, very potent. Hearing is very potent. Chanting is very potent. Serving the lotus feet of the deity is very potent. Making friendship with all these activities are very, very potent. So when we pray to the Lord, these prayers, they do not go on, they are heard by the Lord. And according to the quality, he will respond. All of them, as they surrender to me, and reward them accordingly. He will respond to the loving sentiments of his devotees. And if required, he'll give that devotee protection. Just recently, I will conclude, because it's getting a little late, but I will conclude. I started at 8 o'clock, so 9 o'clock means 7 minutes from now. I will conclude with a very wonderful, true story of how a devotee, a very humble devotee, received the full mercy and the full protection of the Lord. Because that's why Prabhupada told stories, because it just illustrates the point and makes it very clear. The philosophy is there, but after 1 hour you get a little tired and start nodding off, so we need a story to illustrate how the Lord is always protecting his devotee. Listen carefully. This is a very special story. Actually, maybe I'll tell it next year when I come. It's a little, everyone's tired. Okay, I'll tell it next year. No, go hear it now. Who wants to hear it now? Raise your hand. Okay, so take a deep breath. Everybody awake? Okay, this is a true story. As you know, there was a king in Jaipur. His name was Jai Singh. Jai Singh was a very powerful king. He was the one who built the city of Jaipur to give protection to who? Radha Govindaji, the beloved deities of Srila Prabhupada Goswami. So Jai Singh, he also had his personal deities. He has little deities, I think he called them Radha Govinda. And he had a vow. No, he called them Radhasham Sundar. He had little deities like this. He had a vow that he did the puja personally for these deities. Every morning between 7 and 9 o'clock. And nothing could stop him. You know what it's like? Well, probably you don't know. Have you ever been a temple president? Anybody been a temple president here? How busy it is being temple? Just to even get your job put in the morning. They're always coming up. Prabhu, we need this in the car. We need the keys. You know, what about this? We need a check. Imagine if you're king of Jaipur, surrounding areas. So, but he took a vow. He was such, you know, a steadfast devotee that he would lock himself in his puja room with Radhasham Sundar from 7 till 9 o'clock every morning.
And, you know, woe be to him who came and tried to disturb him, you know.
Off with your head.
So there was, in those days, it wasn't just the Muslims who were fighting the Hindu kings. The Hindu kings were fighting the Hindu kings also, especially down there in Rajasthan. So there was one king who, two kingdoms over, he was very jealous of the opulence of Jaipur and the riches and the fame of Jai Singh. So he determined that he was going to attack. So he made a plan. He got his, this is true, he got his generals together, he got his armies together. There must have been, I think it was like 50 or 60,000 soldiers, and they marched towards Jaipur. And the general said, the best strategy is to attack before dawn, because obviously you get your enemy by surprise. The enemy's, you know, sleeping. So you attack at dawn, if you can. The cover of darkness is one of the best times to attack. So the general was saying, let's attack before 4 o'clock in the morning. But the king, he said, no, we're going to attack at 7:30. And the general went, what are you talking about, 7:30? 7:30 in the morning, it's bright daylight, and everybody's up, and all the troops are assembled, and, you know, it's suicide. This Jai Singh and his army is very, very powerful. So the king said, no, we're going to attack at 7:30. He didn't want to let the cat out of the bag, because he knew that the commander-in-chief, Jai Singh, would be doing his puja. He knew how he had taken this vow, that he would never come out of the puja room between 7 and 9 till he finished his puja. So that's exactly what they did. History has been written that they attacked at 7:30 in the morning. Now when they attacked, you can have 60,000 soldiers. They had elephants, they had horses, they had infantry, a huge cloud of dust, you know, screaming war cries, attacking the city of Jaipur. You know, Jai Singh's general, his head general, he looked at him, oh my gosh, I gotta get Jai Singh. So he ran back and he stopped just short of the puja door because it was 7:30 in the morning. You know, Jai Singh was doing his puja. He said, I can't open that door. I'll have to get the queen mother. Jai Singh's mother was still living, you know. She can knock on the door. He certainly wouldn't do anything to her. So they actually went and got the queen mother, and they told her, look, it's a very dangerous situation now that we're about to be attacked. And, you know, you've got to get your son. We need the king to lead the battle. So she came and she knocked on the door. She kind of peeped in. She said, son, I want to tell you something. There's about 60,000 soldiers out there. And, your greatest enemy is out there attacking the city. Come out and lead the battle. So Jai Singh, he said, I'm not coming. I took a vow to Radha Shyam Sundar. I would never give up the puja. She said, my son, what am I going to tell the citizens? He said, you simply tell them to depend upon the mercy of Radha Shyam Sundar. I get out. I'll finish my puja. Mother couldn't believe it. What a vrata. So, the queen mother went out and she told the general, she said, he's not coming out until 9 o'clock. He said, you know, if there's any chance, you have to try to defend. You know, I mean, there's no other choice. You have to go fight. So the general went, okay, but this is, you know, I don't know how we're going to win this one. Took the troops and they went out. I think there were less numbers. It was 40,000 troops. They were outnumbered. They went out and the army stopped like this, facing each other, assessing the situation. You know, like this. So they started to charge from a great distance. First the foot soldiers and the cavalry, then the elephants, like that. And at about 8 o'clock, the door to the puja room opened and Jai Singh walked out. And many of the Brahmins were, oh, you see, Vrata, Vrata, you see. Jai Singh walked out. He walked down. And he told the stable master, saddle my horse. He saddled his horse. He got on his horse. And this day he had two swords. He was famous, Jai Singh. He had one sword that was, it was so big, from here to Mataji, I've seen it in the Jaipur Museum.
I'd go for darshan there sometimes. A sword, double-edged sword. With two hands, he could cut a man and a horse in half. Jai Singh, so powerful a warrior. Half a soldier, half a horse, half a soldier, half a horse. This day, he was so fired up because this enemy king was really always on his nerves, right? He had two swords. And he got there, Jai Singh got there just as the armies were about to meet. He turned and led the charge. His soldiers were like, wow, the king's here, you know. But the problem was back in the palace, right, the vow, right, the king. He took these swords, he was like a lawnmower. There were historical records written how you could go, he was just going down like this and he was chopping everything in half, whatever it was, you know. Horse, tree, human being, whatever. He just like a lawnmower, back and forth, back and forth. And his soldiers were so fine. And actually they repelled this attack. They were outnumbered by, they'd say 15 to 20,000. They were outnumbered by 15 to 20,000. Other king, he had so many more soldiers. But Jai Singh was so fired up. And finally he got to the king. And there was like a moment of silence. And the king raised his sword. And Jai Singh caught that sword with one of his swords. With the other sword, he cut him in half. And that was it. whatever soldiers were left, they ran for it. And the place was just littered with the bodies of the enemy. And Jai Singh's generals and his soldiers, they were just so amazed, you know, how you've done this. So Jai Singh was a very humble man. So he went back to the palace. And he went upstairs and went in his puja room. And this all took place in about 45 minutes. He went in his puja room, closed the door, and 15 minutes later, 9 o'clock, he came out. And he went downstairs to the stable. And he told the stable master, he said, "Saddle my horse, I'm going to battle." Stable master scratching his head, you know. And he got on the horse and he went out there, and Jai Singh got there, and he looked at his chief commander. He said, "What's happened? All the soldiers are dead. Even the king is dead." The general, your highness, I mean, you should know better than anybody else. You came out at 7:45, and you fought, and you killed most of these soldiers, and you killed the king." And Jai Singh went, I did what?" And his general said, "You came out here on the same horse, and you killed all these soldiers, and you killed the king." And Jai Singh went, "No! No! No! I'm bereft of all mercy! All of you are so much more fortunate than me. You got the Sampurna Darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And they went, "What?" General said, "What are you talking about?" And Jai Singh said, "I would never break my vow to Radha Shyama Sundar. I never left the Pujari room." So the general said, "It must have been Krishna." So Jai Singh, he went, I am worshipping the deity of the Lord. You all were so fortunate. You saw him moving, you saw him breathing, you saw him speaking. He actually became your servant, just like Lord Krishna became the servant of the Pandavas. How fortunate you are." He said, "Even my enemy is supremely more fortunate than me. He was killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So Jai Singh took out his dagger. He said, "I am so unfortunate." Took out his dagger, took it like this, and just as it got to his heart, an arm came over and stopped him. And the arm was blue. And Jai Singh fainted in ecstasy. And the scribes, because they're scribes who keep all the... they keep written all the pastimes and, you know, what happened to the kings and so forth. They write that after that, Shishu Radha Gokulananda ki, Sri Lakshmana Hanuman ki, Shishu Gaurita ki. I'll just try to finish up. They write that Jai Singh was never the same after this time. He went on to lead his kingdom and his people and so forth, but he was never the same. Whenever he would see a dark blue cloud, he would, Krishna, Krishna, he'd faint on the ground unconscious. Whenever he saw a bolt of brilliant lightning shining or breaking into the cloud, Radhe, Radhe, he'd faint unconscious. He was never exactly the same again. He was often seen with tears in his eyes. So this is, of course, this is the history that is written in Jaipur, and I can't substantiate it 100%, but there are different types of evidence. There's Shastra, and there's logic and reasoning, there's personal experience, and there's also what they call village lore, village pastimes. It brings us, helps us to understand. I mean, this is written in the annals, which are kept in the Jaipur Museum. And his sword is there, and his clothes are there, and this is one of the most famous stories about Jai Singh. So there's many pastimes in Srimad Bhagavatam, but I thought you would enjoy that. I was just in Jaipur and I read it again. How the Lord gives his, protects one who takes shelter of him. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Shri Radha Shamsundar ki, Shri Shri Radha Govindaji ki, Golok Premdan Harinam Sankirtan Yagya ki, Gaur Premanandi. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.